There is a fountain and frees the soul from sin. Come to this water. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry.
There was the thirsty one. She was drawing from a well. Her life was ruined and wasted. Her soul was bound for hell.
Oh, but then she met the Master, and he told her of her sins. And he said, if you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. There is a river, and it flows from deep within. There is a fountain, and it frees the soul from sin. Come to this water. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. For the Lord's name is to be praised from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. Let the redeemed say so, whom the Lord hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I want to thank my sisters for that wonderful message and song that usher us into the throne room on the wings of music. We praise God tonight, and so I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles. Turn your Bibles to John, the book of John, chapter 4, as we contemplate the subject, Obey Your Thirst. John chapter 4 and verse 28 through 30. And the word of the Lord declares, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Could this be the Christ? Shall we pray? Father, as we contemplate your word, I pray, God, that you will have mercy this one more time on this feeble lump of clay. Have mercy. Use it this one more time for your glory. I pray in the name of Jesus, the Christ. Amen. In this text, this evening, we see Jesus leaping over barriers, of race, religion, gender, class, to reach out and reveal God to a woman who was just going through her daily routine of being obedient to her thirst. She came to the well to fetch water. And I want to say, friends, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, hear me, the gospel of Jesus Christ transcends race, religion, culture, denomination, and anything else that we use to divide and oppress and subjugate each other. A child of God cannot and should not participate in any oppression or exploitation of God's creation.
Amen.
And so how do we find this sister today? How do we meet her this evening? We meet her during the hottest time of the day. She had the dust of the Samaritan countryside on her bare feet. We meet her, as the Bible says, carrying her water pot. She didn't come to Jesus for anything. She had no prayer request. She did not speak or flirt with him. She did not advertise or pitch her title to Jesus. She was there doing her assigned task to draw water to quench her thirst. She wasn't like Brother Nick. See, Brother Nick, who came by night seeking Jesus. Nicodemus, Brother Nick, he had position, he had a reputation, but the sister, she had no name. She's referred to only by where she's from. She's known only by where she's from. Sister from New York. Sister from Boston. Sister from Connecticut. Sister from Bridgeport. No social security number. No zip code. She's just a Samaritan woman. And so Jesus had a request of her. The Bible says Jesus asked her for a drink of water. She was minding her own business, leaving everybody else's business alone, but Jesus asked her for water. And the Bible says She responded, and I'm just putting it in my own language. I believe she said something like this: "You gotta be kidding me. You must have just lost your mind. I am a woman of Samaria, and Jews, men, don't even talk to women in public." A Jewish man wouldn't even be seen talking to his wife in public, especially at noontime. In the middle of the day, when everybody can see and hear them, you are asking a Samaritan woman for a drink, and you don't even have anything to take the water out of the well with. Sisters and brothers, friends, I see bondage being broken right here. The tone and the tenor of the conversation indicates that she had her guard up. And so sister girl knew that I can't trust anybody. And with one request, Jesus breaks through the boundaries. Bondage being broken between inferior and superior. I think I'm better than you because I'm a different color or I'm from a different place. You are inside, but I'm out. I'm in, but you're out. Some of us are not part of the crowd. But Jesus says there's no in, there's no out when it comes to me. All are accepted. And so Jesus' ministry, hear me, Jesus' ministry was never bounded by social conventions. Jesus' ministry was never limited by denominational bias or education hierarchy. Not limited to social structures or elitist organization that keep you in or out. And friends, I'm so glad that Jesus' ministry was never bound up in ritual. As a matter of fact, Jesus' ministry is not boxed up in human established prejudice or stereotypes. Now, the truth is, if we read this text with a prejudice or sexist perception, we may miss the message. See, some people get stuck on the idea that she had five husbands and the sixth was not hers. But the text serves to let us know that we can't hide anything from God. We cannot hide anything from Jesus because Jesus knows and sees everything. But secondly, the text tells us something different is going on with this sister. Jesus said to her, if you knew who you were talking to, if you knew who had asked you for a drink, things would be different in your life. Jesus said, you are focusing on the wrong things. Focus on the wrong message, and you don't even know it. And so Jesus says, I'm the one you need to draw your life from. But you can't even see it. And so when Jesus said that to her, the Bible said, she started talking about mundane things like, what are you going to use to draw water? And then she even got deeper. She started to talk about worship. The Jews worship in Jerusalem, and we worship on Mount Gerizim, which is the right place to worship. She's trying to get Jesus to talk about other things, but Jesus gave her a new focus. And friends, she was given a face-to-face conference with the Savior, the Creator and Savior of the world, and she did not know. Talking with God in human flesh and did not know it. I'm saying that sometimes we can come face to face with God and don't know it because we're focused on other things and other people. So she tried to change the conversation, to get Jesus from all up in her business. But Jesus would not leave her unchanged. You came here for water to quench your thirst, but you have another need. And if I let you be, if I leave you here just the way you came. And so Jesus said, I will not change the subject. I will not leave your business alone. Jesus engaged her mind. Other men abused her, but Jesus engaged her mind. You see, sisters and brothers, hear me, friends. The patriarchal system used her as a piece of meat, but Jesus engaged her mind. She started having a new vision of life. She saw that indeed this Jew could very well be the Messiah. Her mind was open, and this sister from Samaria advanced in the Lord's work because she was willing to listen. She advanced because she was willing to receive. She was willing to talk because she was willing to be transformed, because she was willing to repent. She allowed the Holy Spirit to lay the foundation of a revival in Samaria. Yes, she was the one that ran. The Bible said she abandoned her water pot, ran to the men in the city and said, could this be the Christ, the one we have been waiting for? He told me everything I ever did. Sisters and brothers, this woman raised up. I'm talking about a sister. She had no husband, no legal papers, bad reputation, a used sister, a counted out sister, a powerless sister, a dissed sister, an alienated sister, a low self-esteem sister, a sister. But I tell you, after having met Jesus, this sister advanced in her faith and moved from a nobody to a somebody. I'm here to tell somebody that Jesus will move you from a nobody to a somebody tonight. From an ordinary to an extraordinary. Jesus will move you from degradation to salvation. He'll move you from discrimination to elevation, from mortality to immortality. I'm talking about Jesus, the Lamb of God. He'll move you from ignorance to influence, move you from spiritual thirstiness to fulfillment. I want to ask you tonight, is anybody here thirsty? Yes, Jesus is available. See, Jesus revealed who he was to this sister. Not many people knew who Jesus was. Or when Jesus healed, he would say, don't tell anybody. Because he knew that his time was not yet come. And he wanted to keep that going. If you notice, when Jesus was ministering in one area, and when he heard that John the Baptist was beheaded, Jesus moved to another area because he knew what would happen next. And friends, I'm trying to say that when we meet Jesus, help me, Holy Ghost, when we meet Jesus, our lives are different. Jesus brings grace in our lives so that we can live victoriously. It's the grace of God. And friends, I'm telling you, as long as you don't touch the glory, God will keep you. But you see, sometimes we can be like that bird that wanted to fly, the frog that wanted to fly. I don't know if you heard that story, but the frog wanted to fly. He saw the birds flying. So the frog spoke to the birds and said, well, can you help me? I would like to fly. The bird said, all right, Brother Frog, we're going to get a branch and we'll hold it in our beaks and you hold on to the middle. And so the frog was so happy. The frog held on with his mouth. He held on to the middle of the branch and the birds went soaring into the sky. Oh, they're flying around and Brother Frog is feeling the cool wind on his anatomy. And some other frogs on the earth, they looked up and they saw him up there. They said, who did that? And he opened his mouth and said, me. Sometimes, friends, when God lifts us up and we're flying high, and somebody come and say, hey, you're doing well. God bless you. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Give God the glory. Because if we touch the glory, the Bible says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It's always 100% Jesus. Always choose him. You know that little book, Steps to Christ, it talks about the will and willpower. The will is the power to choose that I have. But willpower, the power to do what I have chosen, I don't have. So I can choose God. I can choose Christ, who has the power to keep me day by day. And so all I have is the choice. And when I choose him, he comes in and takes care of it. Hey, remember that little girl? Every time the devil knocked at the door and she opened the door, he ran over her. But the next time Jesus is visiting with her, and when that familiar knocked on the heart's door, she said, Jesus, can you get the door, please? And so when Jesus opened the door and Satan looked right in his eyes, he said, sorry, wrong number. Because Satan is defeated at the cross of Calvary. And anytime he faces Jesus, he knows that he's a loser. Jesus is the conqueror, and we have the conqueror on our side. Sisters and brothers, friends, where Satan can put one angel, God can put two. Because the Bible says in Revelation 12 that Satan deceived one third of the angels. That means God still has two thirds. So where he can put one, God can put two. He is always outnumbered. And that's what we have. And friends, as I close, I want to tell you that Jesus is a lawyer when you're in trouble. He's a friend when you're lonely. He's a doctor when you're sick. He's a bridge over troubled water, a burden bearer, a heavy load shearer, a lily of the valley, a bright and morning star. Yes. One of my favorite texts is John chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, to them gave he the right, the power to become children of God. And so, friends, children born not of natural descent, nor human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. And so that's who I am. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. That's who I am because of Jesus. And so I don't care what people want to call me. I know who I am. So you can call me Shorty. You can call me Zacchaeus. You can call me anything. Because I'm happy that I know who I am. I'm a child of the King. And hear me, friends. God don't have any grandchildren. God have children. All children. No grandchildren. That means Papa may have it, Mama may have it, but you gotta have your own faith. You have to learn to trust God. Thank God for this sister who came just thirsty for water. But Jesus gave her more than H2O. He gave her living water that was a fountain inside her that overflowed, that she ran to the community. She could not contain it for herself. She says, could this be the Christ? You see, she was an evangelist. She didn't say, this is the Christ, because the men would say, who are you to tell us who is the Christ? And so this sister was diplomatic. She was an evangelist. She said, could this be the Christ? That's all. She just raised a question to the men. Could this be the Christ? And they came and found out. Yes, she was. And so, sisters and brothers, I don't want to ride any hobby horse, but just like our men can preach about Jesus, sisters can do it too. God uses men and God uses women. Let us not put any kind of barrier of race and gender on our people. Let's just proclaim God's will. Do God's will. And let the Holy Spirit be outpoured, that we don't divide ourselves, but we are one in Christ Jesus. Yes, Paul says in Galatians 3 that we are one in Christ Jesus. Let us lift up Christ. Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we can obey our thirst and seek you, who is the thirst quencher. God, we know that the water that you give, it bubbles and overflows like a fountain. And wherever we go, what is inside of us is revealed on the outside. God, may your character be our character. Jesus, we pray that you will implant your Holy Spirit, continue to pour out your Spirit in our lives and empower us to be witnesses of the Christ, like this sister in Samaria. God, may you use us until you come. Thank you for your blessing tonight. We pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Let the church say, amen.